Today we reach the halfway point as we are in a six-week sermon series on our vision statement. You'll find the vision statement printed on the front of your bulletin, of course. Edgeford Covenant Church's vision is that we be a people who are encountering a living God, creating a loving community, and participating in a compelling mission. That is what we have discerned to be our vision for our church. And one of the ways that you can unpack this a little bit more and come to own it more, I think, completely, is to take part in one of the three small groups that we are offering throughout this time that we are studying and learning together about our vision statement. They're printed in your bulletin. You can go to any three at any time. You can go for 1 week or you can go for 6 weeks, whatever you desire, for the remaining weeks that we have it. But I want to encourage you to share in one of those groups. It'll help, I think, make the vision statement come more alive for all of us. Today, we're going to be focusing, it's the first part of the two parts that we'll be spending on creating a loving community. I have to confess that initially I found it a little bit overwhelming to know just exactly where to begin. Where do you start to unpack all that Christ intends for his church when he commanded us to love one another? One of the thoughts that came to my mind was all of the one another passages that we discover together in the New Testament. And you'll find in your bulletin, there's a yellow insert in your bulletin today. And you'll see from that, there are many such passages that encourage us in terms of one anothering each other. It reveals the importance Scripture places on loving one another and the particular ways that love is extended to one another. So I just want to encourage you to keep that, to spend some time maybe looking up those verses and reading them in context. You'll find them to be, I think, a rich resource about what it means to be creating together a loving community. There we discover the importance of loving one another by encouraging or greeting or serving or bearing with one another, forgiving one another. So I thought about looking at many of those texts, but instead, and for whatever reason, I kept thinking, to create a loving church community requires that we use all of our senses, sight, hearing, touch, taste, and smell. You know, for all of its faults and all of the failures of the church, it is still and always the preeminent manifestation of Christ's presence in the world. I love how evangelical author Philip Yancey in his book, Church, Why Bother? I love how he talks about the church. Let me just read a portion of that to you. The church was God's risk, his gamble, so to speak. I have even come to see in the church's flawed humanity a paradoxical sign of hope. God has paid the ultimate compliment to the human race by choosing to live within us, vessels of clay. The church is a culmination, the realization of what God had in mind from the beginning. The body of Christ becomes the overarching new identity that breaks down barriers of race and nationality and gender and makes possible a community that exists nowhere else in the world. My identity in Christ, Yancey goes on to write, is more important than my identity as an American or as a Coloradan, he's from Colorado, or as a white male or a Protestant. Church is the place where I celebrate that new identity and work it out in the midst of people who have many differences but share this one thing in common. We are charged to live out a kind of alternative society before the eyes of a watching world, a world that is increasingly moving toward tribalism and division. Yancey wrote those words 20 years ago, and I think they are even more applicable and profound today. Church is the place where I celebrate, he wrote, that new identity and work it out in the midst of people who have many differences. Working it out is the process of creating a loving community. And so, working it out, I want to start this morning, begins with learning to see with the eyes of Jesus. Learning to see with the eyes of Christ. First ourselves. We need to start seeing ourselves with the eyes of Jesus as the dearly loved child of God, as the one who has been created in the image and the likeness of God. And we all know we've been damaged and flawed by sin, either our own sin or the sin that others have inflicted upon us. But the image and likeness of God has not been destroyed in any of us. So we, each and every human being, have been deemed by God to be worth saving. Forgiveness of sin, healing, and restoration has been extended to me. It's been extended to you. It's been extended to everyone by the grace of God in Christ Jesus. And when we accept the gift of God's grace, when we trust in His Son Jesus, we are given new eyes. We're given new eyes, a new way of seeing ourselves, a new way of seeing others. So the eyes of Jesus are alive in each of us. This new way of seeing others, every other person as equally and deeply loved by God as I am, it's intended to break down all the barriers that exist in the world that divide us and separate us. Do you realize how radical the church is when it's living into what God has called us to be? Galatians 3:28. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, slave nor free, nor is there male or female, for you all are one in Christ Jesus. I think it was Henry Nouwen that said, maybe reflecting on that great verse, yeah, but you know, church is often the place where the person you find hardest to love is bound to show up. And what's that little poem? Oh, to live above with saints we love. Oh, that will be glory. But to live below with saints we know, well, that's another story. You want to know something? That's on purpose. Doesn't God have such a great sense of humor? He intends for the persons we find hardest to love to show up in our local church. Because what God intends to do is to create a truly loving community among us. He doesn't want us to be in a club that's filled with people we like and they're just like us. No. He wants us to become a community. So when those we find hard to love are worshiping, you know, two pews in front of us, or are volunteering by our side on an all-church work day, it helps to remind ourselves that they are loved by God just as much as we are. To see them, to begin to see them, use your sight. See them with the eyes of Christ. Four decades ago, a wise pastor once told me what helped him love people he didn't like and people he found difficult to love in the churches he served. Newsflash, pastors also struggle with this, right? We also find it hard to love everyone in the way that Christ calls us to. I just want to share his little bit of practical advice that helped him develop that 2020 vision with the vision of Christ, the eyes of Christ. He said, well, first of all, that he had to remember that they were just as deeply loved by Jesus as he was. But then he would ask God to help him discover one thing about them that he could genuinely compliment them on. He would pray about that person that was that, you know, bee in his bonnet or that always stuck in his craw. Help me find one thing that I can genuinely compliment them on. And then he would do that. He would do it with intention, and he would do it with sincerity. And he told me it's amazing how that simple process would often create an openness in his heart to move toward a more loving relationship with people he found hard to like and even difficult to love. I've tried to remember that and practice that in my own life. I've also found it true. It helps us to start seeing people through the eyes of Christ. But secondly, to create a loving community means we continue, as we use our sense of hearing, to listen well to others. You know, I was thinking about, and you can look on the yellow insert in your bulletin about those passages where we are told to encourage one another in the body of Christ. And when I think about encouragement, I usually think about those things I can say to lift another's spirits or to remind someone of their value or the hope that we have in the resources that God gives us through His Holy Spirit and through the Lord. But I have found that in order to really encourage others, we need first to listen to them. To, in our conversations, invite them to tell us more. To not be quick to judge based on just a few lines, but to really engage by listening before offering our wisdom or our opinion. Encouraging words are best received by the person who has felt they've really been understood. They've really been listened to. And we do that by using our sense of hearing to offer a listening ear and a listening heart to one another. Thirdly, simple, genuine, physical gestures help create a loving community. Now, as you look at the bottom of your sheet, right, the yellow insert there, the verses it says to greet one another with a holy kiss. I think our context would usually find a holy kiss just a little bit forward, just a little bit awkward for most of us. But a warm handshake or an appropriate hug can convey the warmth of Christ's welcome to others. We use our sense of touch. Think about this. When you hold a crying infant in the nursery and comfort them, your touch is conveying something of what it means to be part of a loving community. When you take the time to gently put the bandage on a scraped knee of one of our kids, that touch is communicating the care and the love of Christ, and it's helping create a loving community. A gentle touch on the arm of someone who is struggling in their life, or placing your hand on their shoulder when we offer a prayer. All those things help create loving community. Now, we know that using touch to convey the love of Christ must be practiced. It needs to be practiced with sensitivity about how it will be received by the other person. We don't all receive it the same way. And it must always be unquestionably appropriate. And if we're going to err on the side of caution. But when practiced with very healthy and self-aware limits, our sense of touch can help us create a loving community among us. last two. Now go with me, follow me here, all right? What about taste? Let's think about how our sense of taste can create a loving community among us. Well, I had to go where the text went this morning. It's the first lesson for this. Is this the fourth? I think it is. The fourth Sunday of the Easter season, the Acts text. When we all get together around a shared meal, when we're all tasting food, Acts 2, First Church Jerusalem, they devoted themselves to four things: to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayer. And then a little later on in verse 46, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. Creating a loving community exercises our sense of taste when we share meals with one another. Now we do that in obvious ways. We eat together at church. We have church potlucks. We enjoy a wonderful every year Swedish pancake breakfast. Those are all wonderful times. But let me challenge us all this morning. When you gather for those potlucks, when you gather for those all church meals that we have, let's try to remember to mix it up a little bit, okay? You know, we love being with those we know the best and our friends, and we love to be with them. And there's certainly a place for that, and that's a great thing to do. But let's not always sit with the same people. Let's remember to look for, to use that vision, those eyes that Jesus has given us, to see those perhaps that we don't know as well or are new. They're sitting alone. And take that opportunity to create a more loving community. And then when you do that, when you sit down, use that sense of hearing to learn more about them. You know, when you were in high school, and for those of you who are in high school, a high school cafeteria is one of the most intimidating places in the world, right? Right? Because, you know, if you don't have a group of friends, or if your friends have a different lunch hour than you do, oh my gosh, where do I sit? I'm going to sit all alone, right? Hey, church potluck is not high school cafeteria time, right? No, we're a community. We reach out. We include. We break down barriers. Peter says to extend that beyond the place where your church gathers in fellowship. Do it in your homes. He says offer hospitality to one another without grumbling, inviting others into our homes. Now, not everybody can do that, but those who can. Let's remember to do that and to encourage and invite those who aren't able or don't perhaps have a good place to practice hospitality. Those are the obvious ways that sense of taste, as we enjoy a meal together, can help create and build community. But it's conveyed in more or less obvious ways. I've been the beneficiary of, as have several of you, our meals ministry team. When meals have been brought in to the parsonage or in your home by someone who cared to cook and to prepare such a meal. And so every bite, every taste of that food, and I'm telling you, I've had some great meals brought over, reminds me of a loving community. Every bite is a flavorful reminder of how delicious grace can be when shared as an expression in our loving community. Our church chair, Melissa Velez Luce, leads our meals ministry team, and you can take that opportunity today if you'd like to sign up and be a part of that. And of course, though, God created a loving community through the sharing of the mystery of the Lord's table. Our communion liturgy often includes these words: is not the bread we break a participation in the body of Christ? Because there's one bread. We who are many are one because we all share in that one bread. And it is this meal, the one that we will celebrate together shortly today, more than all others, shapes and defines and reminds us that we are, by the grace of God, a loving community, because we share in that one meal. Now, finally, as we use all four of our senses, as we see one another with the eyes of Jesus, as we do the hard work of listening to one another with open ears and open hearts, as we use appropriately our sense of touch to convey the warmth and the welcome of Christ, and as we activate our sense of taste whenever we're able to share a meal together or a cup of coffee with one another or bring a meal to someone in need, then we together will become a fragrant, you knew I was going to get there somehow, right? A fragrant and sweet-smelling offering to God. We'll become that fragrant and sweet-smelling offering to the world. And we'll become, as we have become, that fragrant and sweet-smelling offering to one another. One of the things I hear routinely said about our church, especially from newer people, is what a friendly church we are. I think that's true. And I do love hearing that. But you know what else? In the over 22 years I've been your pastor, I have also seen us grow as a loving community. And that reality brings even more joy to my heart. Now, we are far from perfect. And all the things that make loving one another hard in these days, we struggle with all of those just as well. But by the grace of Almighty God, and with intention and commitment, we will use all that we are to continue to create this loving community. Because it's for the glory of God. It is a witness out in the world. And it's for the good of us all. Thanks be to God. Amen.